puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And we will be talking about firsts on this edition of Abandoned Manitoba. It's the first Father's Day that Gordon and I have been together for an Abandoned Manitoba segment, and your first as a new father-in-law.
That's right. My daughter got married a few months ago, and so, yes, I have a new son.
So you'll be expecting a card or something more from him, if he knows what's right.
Well, yes and no. Both him and my daughter are running the marathon, and I'll be over there cheering them on as they come across the finish line.
Well, there you go.
So I don't know if I'll get too many gifts, but I think just seeing the two of them accomplish something pretty impressive is a gift enough for me.
For sure. And happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you very much.
So what are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about events and people's actions that are believed to have occurred for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to challenge our listeners, and as well as you, Bruce,
okay,
to say when each of these things happened.
Great. Okay. But before we do, how do you determine when something or someone was the first of its kind for anything?
Well, that's the real challenge. I've been collecting firsts for several years, and I usually get my information from newspaper articles. In the case of people, my source is usually an obituary that says something along the lines of so-and-so was the first person to be, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so hard to verify such claims. You know, so for example, an obituary once said that the person had been the first woman in Canada to be the general manager of a major hotel. Now, to fully evaluate that claim, one would have to have a list of every general manager of every major hotel in Canada.
Right.
And of course, what qualifies as a major hotel? You know, presumably a big one, maybe one connected to a chain, but it's clearly impossible to evaluate this claim objectively. So, you know, anybody could basically call themselves anything the first of if you just make it detailed enough, I suppose.
Right.
So you, Bruce, what are you the first of?
Well, I don't know. I can't even say I'm the first in my family to work for the CBC here in Winnipeg, as I have a sister who worked here before I did. But
well, then you're the first male Leyden to work.
Well, there you go. The first of the Leyden clan male side to work at the CBC.
There you go. So everybody's the first of something.
I guess so.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
But if we go back to take some of these claims with a grain of salt,
yeah,
you know, I think you just have to recognize that, you know, it's sometimes really hard to say for sure that something is the first.
Mm-hmm.
But most of my firsts do pertain to women because, well, to be honest, of course, until fairly recently, they were actively excluded from so many facets of society. We have, as an example, the late Kathleen Richardson, the member of the Winnipeg family of philanthropists and business people. She was admitted as one of the first female members of the Manitoba Club. The club is the oldest social club in Western Canada, founded here in Winnipeg in 1874,
right,
located over on Broadway. In what year was Kathleen made a member? Was it 1962, 1972, 1982, or even 1992?
Well, it would seem that in this case, the question might infer that it was probably later than it should have been. So I'll say 1982.
You're close. So close, but it was not quite right. In fact, it was even more recent than you guessed.
Oh.
1992. Four women were admitted as members of the Manitoba Club, and 14 years later, one of those women served as the club's first female president.
Interesting.
Now, if we turn to a completely different topic, let's go to horticulture.
Okay.
When did the first rooftop garden appear on a building in Winnipeg? Was it in 1911? 1931, 1951, or 1971?
Well, not necessarily a new concept, so I'll go really early, 1911.
Right, and you know, that makes perfect sense because, mm-hmm, you know, rooftop gardens go way back to antiquity. And you're reasonably close, but not quite. It was 1931, and that distinction belongs to the Gainsborough Building. It's a three-story apartment block on Sherbrooke between Ellis and Sargent here in Winnipeg. It is said to have had the first rooftop garden in Western Canada.
In Western Canada?
Well, that's the thing. Now, it was
a lot of buildings in Western Canada.
Whether or not we can verify, there was an advertisement in the newspaper that said, first rooftop garden in Western Canada. Well, I would have to have a list of all the buildings in Western Canada.
Listen, it was in the paper. It must be true.
It must be, absolutely.
I wonder if it still exists. Do you know?
You know, I have to say I don't know. It's on the top of the building,
right,
and I've never been able to get up there. I suppose now I think of it, Drone.
You have a drone.
Mind blown. Okay, I'm going to have to check it out.
Report back.
You betcha.
Okay. What's next?
Well, let's move on to automobiles.
Okay.
It's widely agreed that the first automobile driver in Manitoba was Professor Edgar Kenrick, a chemist at the University of Manitoba. He drove in 1901.
I believe that was probably referenced in a past abandoned Manitoba segment.
It was. Yeah. We talked about early automobiling actually a few times. Mm-hmm. When was the first woman in Manitoba licensed to drive an automobile? Was it 1897? In other words, before the man?
Right.
Was it 1907? 1917 or 1927?
Definitely not before the first male driver's license. I'll say 1917.
You're close, but not quite. It's 1907.
Oh, earlier.
So actually not that much after the first man. And in fact, by the way, although she was the first licensed woman, I'm certain there were actually women driving before that.
Probably.
Licensing was really a more recent concept. And frankly, I don't think that when Kenrick was cruising in 1901, he even had a license. I don't think they had licenses then.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me that the first woman was much earlier. But the first woman we have a record for, Mary Graham. The wife of businessman Roland Graham, who came to Winnipeg in 1898. They lived on Yale Avenue from 1906, just before she drove, until her death in 1974. And as far as we know, she has the distinction of having been the first woman to hold a driver's license.
Interesting. Now, mayhem on the streets, I bet.
Well, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say that, Bruce. Boy, you can get in trouble saying things like that. Now, around this same time, 1906, Martha Hampel became the first Manitoba woman to do what? Did she, one, serve as a telephone operator, two, hold a private pilot's license, three, build an office building, or four, serve as a school inspector?
Well, I have no idea about this one, so it's interesting that the first telephone operator would obviously have been a woman, but we had telephones before that. I'll say pilot's license.
Well, again, you're close, but not quite right.
Not good at this.
1906 is when Martha Hampel commissioned an architect to design a three-story business block on the north side of Portage Avenue, right in downtown Winnipeg. Still stands, by the way.
Really?
And the original floor plans, they've been extensively modified through the years. And in fact, the building is now taller than it used to be. They added three more floors between 2011 and 2017 when they converted the building into residential apartments. So, you know, she, I think, has the first sort of reputation as an entrepreneur. But if listeners are interested in the years for those other firsts when they took place, well, you said our first telephone operator would have been really early. And yes, that's right. 1883, Ida Steele was our first. The first female private pilot was Eileen McGill. She got her wings in 1928. And the first female school inspector, Marjorie Brooker, took office in 1941.
Okay, what's next?
Well, our next question is going to test our listeners' memory to see if they remember an episode of Abandoned Manitoba back in last August when we talked about the first time that men and women in Manitoba were permitted to drink alcoholic beverages together.
Right.
You know, I think they started to think, well, maybe we could let this happen. So when did this momentous change occur? Was it 1917 or 1937, 1957 or 1977?
I do remember this one, so I'm going to say 1957. And wasn't it at the Woodbine Hotel on Main Street?
You got the date right on.
Okay.
Yes, it was in 1957, the 1st of March, in fact, at noon. But it was in the Royal Alexandra Hotel over on Higgins.
Oh, right.
George and Esther Saunders enjoyed a nice glass of red wine with their lunch. And again, who knows if they were truly the very first, because that was the date. The 1st of March, 1957 was the date that all licensed facilities could now serve men and women together. So, you know, there's probably other licensed facilities that were serving it. There may have been other people at the Royal Alex having a meal that they had a drink with it as well.
Well, they weren't drinkers like George and Esther. They wanted to, right at noon, bring us two glasses. Yeah.
But, you know, I think the reason why it's recorded that they were the first is that they just happened to get identified in the newspaper story that I found about it. And who knows? Maybe the reporter just didn't go around to other places to find out others. But, you know, what this example reveals, that it's entirely possible that the firsts that I've reported here today, as well as hosts of other ones, are based on limited or, frankly, incorrect information. So if any of our listeners can correct an error we've mentioned today, or in fact, if they know other firsts, you know, I'm a big sucker for firsts. If you can share with me another first, and especially if you can provide the documentation so we can know that it is truly the first, well, I'd love to hear from you. Please get in touch with me.
There's great stories about that Royal Alex Hotel next to the CPR station. And
oh, it was the place to be seen. Yeah. I mean, it was a very, very popular place, so no wonder that Saunders went there for their lunch.
High class.
Indeed.
So what's next?
Well, time for our last question.
Okay.
When Winnipeg became a city, its dirt streets became very muddy in the spring. Of course, the water turned the dirt into mud, or even after a good rain later in the year. One of the first ways that city engineers tried to improve the quality of streets was to pave them. Now, initially, what they did is they used short blocks of cedar wood pushed together, something like cobblestone. And I think that's kind of strange because, you know, you think wood isn't a very durable material, especially if it's exposed to wet conditions. You know, cedar's pretty good, but wood eventually is going to disintegrate. And
sure.
So they were looking for something a little more permanent. So the next major innovation came when they began using petroleum products to cover the dirt. When was the first street in Winnipeg paved with asphalt? Was it in 1897, 1917, 1937, or 1957?
I think I remember hearing this. It was very, very earlier than you would expect. So I'm going to say 1897.
And you are right on the money. The first street paved with asphalt was in 1897. And in fact, by 1904, there were fully 12 miles of asphalt paving in the street. But to put that in perspective, at that time, 12 miles of asphalt, we had 16 and a half miles of woodblock paving. So asphalt still hadn't become the ubiquitous paving we see around the city today. Now, another little interesting tidbit is that some sources state that the first street to be paved with asphalt was McDermott Avenue. But in fact, that's wrong. It was Kennedy Street and Assiniboine Avenue right nearby. Now, I suspect the reason for the choice of Kennedy, and in fact, it was from Broadway to Assiniboine that they paved it, the reason was political. Kennedy was the location of the legislative building.
Right.
Not the present-day one, by the way. The one that preceded it. You know, because this is 1897. We didn't get the present one until 1920. So it easier for the politicians to get to work. But also, of course, just a little ways further down that street was the Lieutenant Governor's residence.
Right on Kennedy. Yeah.
You know, so if you're trying to curry favor with the legislators, well, there you go. Put it right down past these two major political buildings. I'm still not entirely sure I know why they chose Assiniboine Avenue, too, from Kennedy to Carleton. I have a suspicion, and I think it relates to the subject of our conversation next week.
Oh, awesome. So what will we be talking about next week?
It relates to an experience I had this past week. I met a family from California who were visiting here to learn about one of their ancestors. He had lived in Winnipeg over a century ago, and he was the contractor who did Winnipeg's first asphalt paving.
No kidding.
That's why I know about the details of it. But he was also later embroiled in a scandal. And as a result, he spent time in Stony Mountain Penitentiary. Oh. That person was Thomas Kelly. And people might have heard of that name. So we're going to say more about what Mr. Kelly was up to back then. And I'll tell our listeners about the various good works he did, as well as some of the less reputable things next week.
The scandalous. In the meantime, I'm going to go research the first pothole in Winnipeg, which was probably, what, 1907?
Well, if the first pavement was 1897, yeah. I'm betting the first pothole was 1898.
Spring of 1898, exactly. Thanks a lot for that, Gordon. Thanks for coming in.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.